See, sometimes we get so drilled into one little conflict, whether it be at the school or in the church or in the neighborhood or in the home, and we're so into this one little conflict and we're so determined to win the battle that we lose the war.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. And Colin, I want to back up for just a moment and ask you to explain what we just heard there.
Well, we are in a situation where increasingly Christians feel embattled and we find ourselves in conflict, and there are difficulties that arise in the schools and in families and in neighborhoods and all the rest of it. And we don't find it easy sometimes to know how to handle these. Sometimes we want to go in real hard and we think we've got this, you know, I'm being a champion for Jesus Christ.
Right. And we're culture warriors.
Exactly. A culture warrior. And we're looking at the example of Jesus Christ in 1 Peter here. And when he is faced by the enemies, we find that he has no deception. He makes no threats. He doesn't retaliate, Peter says. Instead, he makes very different choices. He trusts himself to the Father. So we're going to look at the model that Jesus gives to us of how to handle situations where people are really coming against us and they're antagonistic towards us precisely because of Christ. How did Jesus handle that? And I have found this to be a powerful and a compelling model and a wonderful calling as to what it really means to be like Christ in a situation of difficult conflict.
Well, we all find ourselves in situations like that from time to time. So today's message is a very practical one. Hope you'll open your Bible and join us in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, through the first few verses of chapter 3, as we continue a message entitled, New Freedom. Here's Pastor Colin.
In a situation where you have been humiliated or wounded or hurt financially or emotionally, where your dignity has been taken from you, where you've been made to look foolish, your first instinct in all of us, it's going to be revenge, retaliation. I'll get even. Think of the retaliation Jesus could have made when they put a crown of thorns on his head, when they put a stick in his hand and a red robe on him and started mocking him, saying, "Hail the King of the Jews." Think of the retaliation Jesus could have given. One word from Jesus at that moment, and the armies of heaven would have turned Calvary into a wasteland of scorched earth. But Peter says, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. If someone hurts you and you can't get back at them straight away, then very instinctively the reaction can be to say something that indicates we'll get even in the future. But there was none of that. Think of the threats Jesus could have given. All judgment is trusted by the Father to the Son. He will decide the destiny of every person who has ever lived. He could have threatened hell, fire, and damnation. But he did not. Why? Because his mission that was absolutely clear and focused in his mind was to bring people who are highly resistant to a position where they will glorify God. And therefore, he chose a different course. And you see what Peter is saying? He suffered to give you an example, because as we Christian believers seek to embrace that mission also of living in such a way that highly resistant people will in time come to glorify God, we will follow this pattern. If that's our mission, then we'll not use deception, we will not be retaliating, and we will not be making threats. What will we be doing? Well, look at what Jesus did. Verse 23, he chose instead to trust himself to him who judges justly. This is very important. Jesus did not say, when he suffered these unspeakable wounds, "Well, of course, you know, none of this doesn't matter at all. We'll just sweep it all under the carpet." No, that was not the approach of Jesus. Peter speaks here about justice. Him who judges justly. Now notice what is said about justice. God is just. God is absolutely committed to justice, the integrity. It is God himself who has placed the sense of and desire for justice within your heart. And we can be absolutely certain that there will be justice for every evil that has ever been committed. Justice will be done. There will be no dark secret that is not one day brought to light before and by God. God has set a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. I want to suggest to you that that comes as an enormous relief. Because if it were not the case that God has set a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness, we would be under tremendous pressure to right every wrong now, to put right everything that has been spoken amiss, to correct every false accusation, to clear everything that has ever been misstated. And I tell you, it would be absolutely impossible. So it is a huge relief to know that there is one who judges justly, and that we can follow the example of Jesus because we know him who judges justly, and we can trust injuries inflicted to him. We can trust insults made to him. We can trust injustices that have been done to us to him into the hands of him who judges justly. Now, you see, Christians are the only people in the world who can do this. The world is convinced that the only justice you can get is here and now. That's why the world is enmeshed in a growing pattern of conflict. If a person doesn't get justice here, what do they say? There's no justice. Well, we see, we know that there is justice. And Jesus could have called in the armies of angels for justice at Calvary at that very moment, but he used his freedom to make a different choice. He trusted this most awful atrocity into the hands of the Father because his objective was clear: to bring hardened people to a position where they would glorify God. And it follows from that that he bore, verse 24, our sins in his body on the tree. It's a wonderful statement that goes to the very heart of the New Testament. Our sins were laid on Jesus. And he bore them in his own body. Now, there is an obvious uniqueness about this, but remember from verse 21 that Peter is speaking about Jesus' death as an example. And if you choose not to retaliate when you're injured, what will happen will be that simply you will absorb the pain that was inflicted. Someone speaks an insult, and you think of the most brilliant comeback line that would really put him down, but you withhold it. You don't retaliate. What happens? You absorb that insult, and the pain ends with you. That's the other side of non-retaliation. If I do not retaliate, the way in which that happens is I absorb some pain within myself. Now, why would Jesus do this? Well, Peter brings us right back to the very focus, the objective. He made these choices in order to act redemptively. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. He did not retaliate. He trusted himself to him who judges justly so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. He wanted to bring hardened people like you and I once were to glorify God. He wanted to bring us back to the shepherd and the overseer of our souls and to bring that eternal, dramatic life change. Jesus followed this path. And in his suffering, the issue was, what course of action will lead to highly resistant people coming to glorify God? What course of action will lead to the healing of these appalling wounds? What course of action will lead people to come back to the great shepherd of the sheep? And the answer was that Jesus bearing our sins in his own body would do that. That Jesus not retaliating would do that. And so he chose to act redemptively. And when he chose to act redemptively, he made room for reconciliation. And that is why Peter says in these beautiful words that it is by his wounds that we are healed.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called New Freedom. Part of our series, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life, relates to study of the book of 1 Peter. And if you want to go a little bit deeper, I want to encourage you to consider giving a gift of any amount to Open the Bible. And we're going to send you a copy of Pastor Colin's book called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. It's a book that's based on this current sermon series that we're listening to on the radio. To give a gift and support the ministry right now, you can stop by our website, openthebible.org, or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, the website is openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now let's remind ourselves of our objective. Our objective as believers in this world is to live in such a way that people who are deeply resistant to the good news of Jesus Christ will come to glorify God. And if we really want that to happen in our community, in our places of work, and in our homes, here's the strategy to pursue, Peter says. This thing that you are aiming for will not happen if you go around using deception, if you go about retaliating, if we go about making threats. This great objective will be achieved as we follow the example of Jesus, who trusted himself into the hands of him who judges justly and bore our sins in his body on the tree. He acted redemptively. And it is in this way that change in the hardest situations will come about in this broken world. Now, this calls for great wisdom. I want you to hear me very carefully here, because we're talking about the exercise of freedom. And judgments have to be made. Choices are the essence of freedom. If you're asking the question, in a situation of conflict, what course of action is going to be redemptive here? That question will give you direction for the course of action you should choose. There may be situations in which the best hope of redemption lies in confrontation. It may be that God has placed you close to someone who lives in denial of a destructive pattern, and love means painful confrontation. It's got to be brought out into the open. An example of that in the Bible was when King David had committed a secret sin and God sent the prophet Nathan to eyeball with him and to confront him and to expose it and to bring it out into the open. There may be a situation in which that is precisely the thing that needs to be done in order to open the door to redeeming grace. And unless it's done, it is very unlikely that any change will ever happen. There are situations in which it is right to bring a matter for justice in a court of law. There are situations in which it is right for a church to exercise church discipline. But there are other situations in which your action will be guided by a decision to absorb pain. And in absorbing pain, to quietly and in private and eyeball to eyeball, to exercise forgiveness, because love covers a multitude of sins. The question we have to ask in making this discernment is simply the principle that Jesus followed. what course of action is going to bring the best chance, as best we can judge it, of a breakthrough of God's grace. Freedom means you have a choice. And to quote from the Old Testament scriptures, a very beautiful passage in Ecclesiastes, there is a time to embrace, and there is a time to refrain. There is a time to tear, and there is a time to mend. There is a time to speak, and there is a time to be silent. There is a time to fight, and there is a time to refrain from fighting. And you say, that's such a beautiful passage, but how do you discern the time? The answer is you remember the objective. So that's what Jesus did. And everything about his response to suffering was geared to the objective of us dying to sin and living to righteousness, returning to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. It was to act redemptively. That's what guided and directed his choices. And Peter says, that's how it's to be for us too. Don't ask, how can I get even? Don't ask, how can I get my own back? Don't ask, how can I win? Ask, how can I act redemptively? What could I do that, as best I can judge it, would open the door for God's redeeming, life-changing love to touch this hard, difficult circumstance in which I find myself? And remember that the impact of your life will depend in large measure on the way that you use your freedom. Acting redemptively is much more important than being heard. Acting redemptively is much more important than winning the argument. Acting redemptively is much more important than getting your rights. See, sometimes we get so drilled into one little conflict, whether it be at the school or in the church or in the neighborhood or in the home, and we're so into this one little conflict and we're so determined to win the battle that we lose the war. Now, Peter says, keep your eye on the big picture. What are we about here? We're about the kind of action that's going to lead hardened and resistant people one day to glorify God. Think about what might do that. Far more important than winning on any one issue. Now, the Bible does not offer guaranteed outcomes of any choices, but it is telling us that if we are serious about seeing deep change in hard situations, this is the path. So, for example, if your spouse is not a believer, you have to exercise wise judgment in the way you use your freedom. There may be times when it's more important to go to a ball game than a Bible study, if you're thinking about the objective. Use your freedom in the light of what it is that you're seeking to see accomplish. I want to encourage in these last moments today some in this church, and you could have ended your marriage. You have biblical grounds to do so. You could have walked, and you had verses in the Bible that you could have used to support that decision. You had that choice. But you used your freedom in a different way because you wanted to act redemptively. And there are strong homes in this church today because in a moment of pain, such a decision was made. Retaliation is easy. Redemption is hard. There are others in this congregation, and you could have brought and probably won a lawsuit. You had a good case, but you chose to act redemptively. And one day in heaven, your reward will be far greater than the check you might have had. You used your freedom. You acted redemptively. There are others in this fellowship and you have been wounded. You could have broken fellowship. You could have spread gossip. You could have stirred up division. But you made a different choice. You used your God-given freedom and you acted redemptively. We will not win our community by insisting on our rights. We will win our community by acts of kindness and deeds of mercy. We will not change our places of work by endless conflict. We will win our places of work by the quality and the spirit of what we do. We will not heal our marriages by insisting on our own way. We will heal our marriages by grace and by kindness and by restraint, by the gentle and quiet spirit that is of great worth in God's sight. And in a world that is consumed by conflict, God has given to us the freedom to make a different choice that reflects the character and the example of Jesus. He changed the world, and he left an example that we may follow in his footsteps.
What a powerful reminder today from Pastor Colin that we're not going to win our community, change the places that we work, heal our marriages by clinging to our rights, insisting on our own way. Any of that change is going to happen as we reflect the character of Jesus. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith in a message called New Freedom, part of our series, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is listener supported, and that is just what it sounds like. We depend on your generosity to keep Pastor Colin's teaching on this station. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you Pastor Colin's book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And Colin, what can a person expect to get out of this book?
Well, very simply, it will take you right the way through the first letter to Peter, just 5 chapters in the New Testament. But this very important letter really lays out the basics that any Christian believer needs to grasp hold of. And so it's a marvelous letter for getting established in the faith. It's really helpful for anyone who is a new believer or anyone who feels like, you know, I just need to get the foundations set clear in my life. One of the things that I love about going through this letter, or indeed any book of the Bible, is that it allows God to set the agenda. See, it's very easy to think, well, we know what a new Christian needs to learn. And if I was coming up with a list, Steve, I'd say, well, there has to be something about prayer, there has to be something about witnessing, has to be something about reading the Bible and so forth. And all of these things, of course, are there in 1 Peter. But I probably wouldn't put on my list, you know, we need to retain our own freedom in Christ. We need to walk in humility. And we need to be ready for what it is to suffer. I'm not sure I'd put that in my list, but they're all there in 1 Peter. Why are they there? Because God knows that every new believer needs these things as well as the others that might come first to our minds. So it's a marvelous thing to get into one book of the Bible. And as you learn how to learn from one book of the Bible, well, then you'll be ready to go on to another book of the Bible and you'll be on your way in terms of growing in the Christian life.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book. It is called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life, and it is our thank you for your financial support this month. You can call us and give a gift over the phone. Our number is 877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365, or our website is openthebible.org. That's openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Many people are convinced that God hears every prayer offered by every person in every circumstance. Discover what the Bible says next time on Open the Bible.